Now, Northwest again leads the way with more jets to the Twin Cities than any other airline. And incidentally, only Northwest flies the mighty fan jets to Minneapolis-St. Paul with your choice of first class and coach on every jet. So whenever you travel to the Twin Cities, fly Northwest, the fan jet airline. For immediate reservations to Minneapolis-St. Paul, call your travel agent or...
Northwest Orient!
WIND weather, occasional cloudiness tonight, very cold with diminishing wind, low 10 to 15 below. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness with possibly some snow flurries, continued cold, a high tomorrow near zero. Fair and cold tomorrow night, low around 5 below. And Tuesday's outlook, partly cloudy with slightly moderating temperatures. At Midway, it's 2 below. Downtown at Grant Park, 1 below. At O'Hare, minus 3. Humidity 62%, wind west 22. WIND News at 6:30, brought to you by Northwest Orient Airlines, your leading airline to Minneapolis-St. Paul, 96 flights a week, far more than any other airline. Next news any minute, next scheduled report at 7 on WIND Chicago.
Sound of Engine Company 66, Chicago Fire Department, on the way through the Fillmore District in Chicago's west side. 66, heading for a fire. The sound of 66 is heard 20 times each day, making Engine Company 66, along with Companion Squad 7, the busiest outfits in the world. This is their story. WIND News takes you into the station house, occupied by Company 66 and Squad 7 at 2858 West Fillmore Street. My name is Jerry Udwin. Tonight we will see how a fireman works. Follow him on the engine, down the icy streets, into the burning buildings. We will find out why he does this work, how he lives with the dirt, the danger, and the death. Cut out of a far different mold than that of his fellow Chicagoans. Most people consider themselves burdened with a tough job if the hours call for working nights and sleeping days. A fireman works day and night on a 24-hour shift from 8 a.m. until the next 8 a.m. He works a day, a 24-hour day, then is off 2 days and comes back to work another 24-hour day. The daylight hours aren't so bad. He is rested, eager to work, in a mood to shoot the bull with the other men in the engine house between alarms. The nights are worse. A fireman is tired. He's been running all day, but he can't go to sleep, not until after 8 a.m. the next morning. And there's more action at night. More alarms, more fires, more inhalator calls, more false alarms. These nighttime hours are the ones we'll spend with Engine Company 66 and Squad 7 in their station house at 2858 Fillmore. Most of the dozen firemen in the ancient wood and brick station say they've adjusted to the weird hours. Many have been with the department for 12 to 15 years. A couple of them have spent all of that time in this very station. For the younger men, adjusting themselves and their wives to a fire department's working schedule is at least a temporary problem.
Well, it takes time. I've only been married a few years, but it took a little while to go ahead and get adjusted. Just like anybody else that got married, I guess it's adjustment when you get married anyway. But I guess it's a little more adjustment when you're in a fire department.
This fire station is the busiest in the city, the busiest in the world. The Fillmore neighborhood is decaying. It's old. Its people are poor. If they get any money, they move out to a nicer neighborhood. What's left behind are the run-down frame buildings with far too many people trying to live in far too few rooms. It's not healthy, and it's not safe. Lieutenant James Dunn, in charge of Engine Company 66 on this shift, describes the firemen's problem with their district.
It's a variety of buildings, dwellings, apartment buildings, factories. Sears and Roebuck is in our district. Part of it is the administration building in that. Are there a lot of old buildings that might be prone to have fires? Well, I would say so, yes. It's rather an old neighborhood. The entire district is, you know. How much action do you normally have each day on an average? Well, we could average anywhere, say, 6 or 7 runs a day for the engine.
And how many, perhaps, for the squad?
Well, the squad could run anywhere from 17 to 20 a day. We'd do our most running between the hours of maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon to about maybe 2 in the morning. Of course, sometimes it runs later than that at night. You know, it might be going all night.
Why does it seem there's more then than perhaps in the middle of the morning?
Well, that's a hard thing to pinpoint. Of course, you never know when you're going to have a fire, you know, but it just seems that those are the hours that you have the most, you know.
Engine Company 66 is responsible for the area bounded by Rockwell, Holman, Van Buren, and 16th Street. Squad 7 covers a wider area, going in with 66 and other engine companies on all calls in the region bounded by Ashland, Austin, Chicago Avenue, and the meandering sanitary canal. A squad sets things up for an engine company. The squad provides access to the fire, breaking down doors, going through windows. The engine company follows in with hoses to attack the flames. The signal that dispatches the firemen comes through the station's joker stand. This is a shelf at the front end of the two-story station. On the shelf, a telegraph ticker that wraps out a code in firehouses around the city. If the fire alarm box named in the message is within a company or squad's district, the men are on their way. Also on the joker stand, another telegraph that reports extra alarms. When it carries a message, it also rings a loud bell in every station. Added protection against the units missing a call. Other reports of fires are phoned in to the central fire alarm office. These are passed along over a loudspeaker system into the city's firehouses. Most of our station's calls tonight will come over the loudspeaker. The first call comes in just at dusk. Firemen sprint to their engine from the kitchen lounge area at the rear of the station. A couple slide down the shiny brass-colored pole, descending from holes in the upper floor. They jerk on boots, buckle up long, heavy water-repellent coats, and slap on their hats. The two engine drivers rev up the motors of the engine and the squad. 18 seconds after the alarm arrives, the two units, sirens screaming, roar out of the station. The run is to a ramshackle, splintery garage at the rear of 2428 Renshaw. Rubbish being burned inside the garage. It spreads to the garage itself. The door is locked. The woman owner of the burning garage pleads with firemen not to chop down her garage door. They explain that either they break in or the fire keeps burning and spreading. Besides, when firemen get inside, they need more ventilation than the normal amount of windows and doorways provide. The woman retreats. The firemen smash inside. Quickly, the fire is out. The firemen's return to quarters is as quiet as a Sunday afternoon auto excursion compared to the roaring dash to the fire. The truck proceeds back to the station at normal speed, stopping at red lights. Life in the station is not merely sitting around waiting for one of the roughly 20 alarms that sound for the companies during an average day. There's always plenty of work to be done. Cleaning and polishing the trucks. Keeping the house itself spotless and in order. It's an old building, dating back literally to the horse and buggy days. To the days when horses also lived there to pull the engines. Upstairs, each fireman has a bed and a locker. He must keep that bed and locker neat, and he must do his share toward keeping the faded yellow walls clean and the sagging wooden floors free of the dirt which the firemen track back from fires. Now, an alarm calls them to 2848 South Costner. It turns out to be false. Then back to the station and to the start of a typically long fireman's supper. This shouldn't be confused with a fashionable, leisurely supper. It is eaten over a two-hour period only because the ticker and the loudspeaker call the men out to four fires before they can get around to dessert. A call to 2515 Jackson, an apartment building. Burning rubbish in the incinerator got out of hand. Another company is already at the scene, so Company 66 stays only a few minutes, then heads back. But on the way to the station, the engine's radio barks out orders to head for a serious fire, burning in a home in the 2200 block of Cullerton. Flames have licked out beyond a stove and set the basement living quarters on fire. The flames spread to the front porch. The first hose, trained on the fire, can't put it out. A fireman, wearing heavy gloves, wades through these flames, grabs the stove, and lugs it out into the open, where more hoses can hit it. The fire comes under control. A middle-aged woman who lives in the house describes what happened.
Oh, all of a sudden, the stove started burning.
Did you smell it from upstairs?
No, one of my daughters went downstairs, and she said there was a fire underneath the oil stove.
Then what happened?
So I turned a rug downstairs, and the fire started getting bigger, so I pulled the stove out in the yard. And never noticed before that it would leak.
Was there anybody down there when it started?
Just my daughter. She noticed that it started.
Did she get out all right?
Yeah, she's out here. Yeah,
nobody was hurt there?
Nobody's hurt at all.
An elderly man, awakened by the noise, is befuddled by the smoke, firemen, and excitement. The woman tries to explain to him.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, Mike.
What did happen?
I don't know. All of a sudden, the stove started burning.
I didn't know what it was. I was sitting watching television. What happened?
I don't know, Mike.
Wait.
Oh, you think your other stove is okay there?
Yeah, it's right there.
Well,
it's
who
all right.
Carried
I carried it
out?
Off. I did. I carried it
you
off.
You did?
Yeah, I carried
the
it
whole off. Stove?
Yes, the whole stove.
Oh, boy.
Soup is cold by the time Engine Company 66 and Squad 7 get back to the station. The men buy their own food and prepare it themselves. Instantly, another call. This one to 2700 Congress Parkway, calling the men away from their macaroni and cheese. Soot on fire, high up in a chimney. A ladder slaps up against the side of the house. Three firemen go up. 10 minutes, and the fire's out. Back to the station once more. Then right back out, on their way to Sacramento and Fifth Avenue. Halfway there, the false alarm message comes over the engine's radio. All engines responding to Fifth Avenue and Sacramento return to quarters. Finally, dinner is finished. Cold soup, cold macaroni. An outsider wonders why would a man become a fireman.
Why did I become a fireman? That's a good question. Well, I tell you, I knew some people who were in the fire department before, and I always admire them for what they were. And the appearance they gave toward me, I looked at them, I looked up to them, I thought they were very good men. Maybe that was one of the reasons. I think it takes a pretty good man to become a fireman. There's a lot of good things about being a fireman. I think it's a good job. It's something to be proud of being a fireman. Nothing to be ashamed. You're doing a good job for your community. You're well trained. And you're above the average citizen when it comes to protecting the people.
9:20 p.m. A call comes in, 39 North Kedzie. 9:21, a block from the station. Return to quarters, a false alarm. Each fireman feels differently about these false alarms.
I think it's the most nonsensical stunt that I can think of. It just don't make sense.
Others take false alarms matter-of-factly as just part of the job.
If it's false, you come back, and that's all. I mean, there's nothing personal.
We take them all as they come. I mean, we expect to go out and find something, and if we don't, well, if it's a false alarm, it's just another run that's marked in the book, and we're glad that... There's no danger there for us nor for the people that we're going to, that we don't hit anybody on the way up there or back, and that possibly there's no danger of really getting burned in a fire.
A false alarm turned in as merely a prank by a youngster pulling an outdoor firebox ceases to be a prank and becomes a danger when the fire engine leaves the station.
It's a danger to pedestrians, it's a danger to the firemen, and it's a danger to apparatus and men. There was a girl killed up north with a truck run over, and I forget the name of the street there. Some truck company run over a child that run in front of the rig as it pulled out the door, and that was responding to a false alarm. And I think the child that pulled the box, when he found out that there was a child killed, he turned himself in.
Now, jangling of the station's alarm bell yanks firemen away from their television set in the kitchen. The bell snaps the other men awake in their beds upstairs. These sleepy-eyed firemen leap through the two holes in the upper floor and slide down the gleaming poles. The trucks race to Roosevelt and Sacramento. It turns out to be a car engine on fire along the street next to a gas station. The service station is open, but neither its attendant nor the car owner thinks to go into the station for water to douse the flames. The owner simply is bewildered.
I don't know. I put some gas in while going in. I picked it up, and she went dead, and she caught a fire.
When did it start catching fire?
While I was in the station.
While you're in the station?
Mm-hmm.
Was the car engine running?
No, it wasn't running. She died out.
And then what happened?
Well, all of a sudden, she started smoking.
What could have started it?
I don't know.
The car owner can't figure out what happened, but a fireman can.
Probably a backfire through a carburetor.
How do you mean a backfire?
Well, like, there's no breather on the top, see, right here?
Right.
Well, then it just backs up through the carburetor and starts on fire. The gasoline comes right through there.
You have that pretty often.
Oh, quite a bit. All the wiring, everything is burnt. That's all it does. The engine is burnt, all the wiring, the hoses, and things like that. But the engine itself, it doesn't burn because it didn't get that hot during time. But they were real fortunate that it didn't get inside the dash, you know, behind the firewall and get inside and burn the car.
In the fire station, the men passed the long...